Okay, so welcome to Trumpet Call. If you don't have, let me make sure you have your handouts. You need your Trumpet Call handout. It's pink. This is 11-11-14 on it. And you're going to need your Tools and Techniques, Obstacles to Freedom. If you don't have that, they're on the table outside. So make sure you have those. I'm not going to do a ton of quote-unquote teaching today. I'm just sort of going to tell you how I got here and then go through the worksheet with you. But God started this, I don't know, September. Goodness, he started it a long time ago, but I just keep seeing threads of this thing that he did back in September. He took me to this passage in Ezekiel 37, the dry bones passage. And this is a testimony to you, whether you understand why God is giving you a passage or not, write it down. Just write it down. And you go, I don't know what you're saying, God, but, you know, this scripture's good. I'm going to chew on it today, and he'll bring it back up later. So y'all all know this passage, the Valley of Dry Bones, where God says to Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? And Ezekiel says, God, only you know. Okay, so I was at this retreat back in September. And I felt him give me this passage, Ezekiel 37. It's like, okay. So I'm reading it. Dry bones, yeah, Lord, you know that they can live. And it says, he tells Ezekiel to prophesy to the dry bones. Well, I'm thinking in my head, I know what he's talking about. I know the dry bones. It's about my son. I know it. So I'm all excited. I'm like, yes, I'm going to prophesy to those dry bones. So I did, like out loud. It says prophesy to the dry bones. So, okay, I did. I just confess, and my friend Kathy will be glad that this is on record, that I'm probably going to need glasses soon because this is really tiny print.
Here's the bait.
Okay. It says, prophesy to these bones and say to them, so this is what I said. Okay, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. It's like, yes, Lord, I am prophesying to those dry bones that I know have to do with my son. I'm prophesying. So did that. And the next day I'm teaching at this retreat. So I was teaching and I'd shared a testimony about my daughter, my oldest daughter, and how her biggest secret got revealed. And in my daughter's mind, you guys probably know, well, some of you don't, but my daughter was adopted at 4. And so she has abandonment issues, as you can imagine. If your birth mother kind of, you know, left you, you would have those. So she has basically spent her whole life putting her arm up, saying, okay, I'm going to keep you right here so you don't leave me and you don't hurt me. We wouldn't have put our finger on that, but that's kind of what she was doing. And so in her mind, if this big secret got revealed, well, that's the end of the world. You know, mom, dad are going to be mad at me. They may kick me out of the house. I mean, whatever. If you knew the secret, you'd be like, okay. But in her mind, this was her big deal. And so because she had, I've told y'all before, she had attempted suicide, we had her in therapy. And so this big secret got revealed in therapy. And so Greg and I got to interact with her. And what was cool about it is probably 3 or 4 years ago, I probably would have reacted more strongly in a negative way. But instead, we were able to come alongside her and give her grace and give her forgiveness. And I was able to invite her into my own story and how my own sin and how it impacted me and how her dad was such a huge part of my healing. And it was just the coolest experience and how she fell in love with her daddy that night and our relationship has never been stronger. And so I'm teaching this, okay, at this retreat. And I say out loud, I said, you know, I never gave birth to any children out of my body. I said, but I gave birth to my daughter that night. And y'all, that's the first time I ever heard that. Never, it was not on my paper. I had never heard that. And in that moment, it was one of those whoosh. And so I'm standing there because I'm hearing it for the first time. And I'm teaching the big 200 group room and I'm going, I just got that. And so I'm standing there thinking, okay, now what do I do? But I got it in the moment, and my sweet friend came and prayed for me, and we kind of processed it a little bit before the group. But what God showed me later was that Ezekiel 37 passage, that was for me. That the bones I was prophesying to were in me. That God was saying, I'm going to breathe life to those dead places. And so since then, it's been neat because he's been doing that. And then he'll do something, and I'll go, oh, that's Life to a Dead Place. You're doing that thing again, which has been so neat. So, a couple weeks ago, well, several weeks ago, Kathy was, I forget which lesson it was, but she reminded us that because we have the Holy Spirit in us, we have the fruits of the Spirit. Okay, I know that's probably not news to y'all. And yes, I know we have the fruits of the Spirit. But I think somewhere in me, I knew that. But if you had said, Dana, you are love, you are peace, you are joy, I'd be like, okay, the Holy Spirit is, but I'm not. The Holy Spirit has those fruits, but I don't. But if the Holy Spirit lives in me, then I have those fruits in me, right? So there's a disconnect. Okay, so she had said that, and I was like, huh. So that's in me. Something's blocking that thing in me. Okay, I'm keeping that in the back of my mind. And then a couple of weeks ago, we were in leadership, and I forget what even brought it on, but Kathy mentioned about how God had shown her that she sort of shut off mercy when she was a little girl. And I was sitting there going, I so did that. And it was just a new revelation to me. I was like, y'all, I totally did that. I shut off mercy. And how I did that, and this is my example, but, and I won't go into specifics because it's going to be on the World Wide Web, but seeing a parent in a very weak state that made me kind of unsafe, I judged. I was like, that, number one, it's not safe. Number two, it's pathetic. I mean, I would go, seriously, that's ridiculous. Any kind of judgment that you could place on that, I did to keep myself safe because I can't be part of that. You're not safe, so I'm going to separate myself. Not realizing that as I did that, that basically I was not extending mercy. And I basically have kind of cut off mercy in me altogether. Well, mercy is not one of the fruits of the Spirit. Y'all are probably going, hey, Dana, mercy is not in that list. But if you look at the list on this pink page, I mean, you can put mercy in so many places. Peace, I think I could put mercy in there. Patience, seriously, do you need mercy to have patience? Kindness, I'm thinking you need some mercy and compassion to be kind. Goodness, okay, mercy's in that list, so we got goodness covered. Gentleness, I'm really thinking you need some mercy if you're going to be gentle. Self-control, you really need some mercy there. So you can see where that would impact a lot of places. So I'm in leadership realizing I totally cut off mercy. And it was kind of like, well, what do you do with that? And then the next week, Kathy said something about, yeah, both ends, the receiving part and the giving part. And like I told y'all, that receiving part, I forget. I was like, oh, yeah, I don't guess I've done that receiving part either. Y'all, you'd think I haven't been here for 16 years, really? 16 years. And so I'm like, whoa, this is, like, have y'all seen the Friends episode with Phoebe when she goes, that is brand new information. That's what I felt like. That is brand new information. So that's kind of where God has had me in these last few weeks is, what does that look like? How has that impacted me? And I've gotten really excited. You can go to that tendency of, well, crap, what has this cost me over 44 years? You could go there, and I'm going there. But for the most part, what it's been like is, okay, there's this mercy land over here I didn't even know I owned. Didn't even know that land had my name on the deed. And I'm going, shut up, that's mine? Okay, let's go over here and play in the mercy land. What's over here? Oh, there's some goodness over here. And look at this joy, and there's some compassion. And it's like finding prizes. So my friend, he always says, we're not trying to put anything on you. Okay, and if you're Dana, Gwen, Woody Smith, the putting on you, I can so get on that page. Just put it on me. I've did that my whole life. But he says, we're not putting anything on you. We're calling out of you what God has placed in you. And I kept hearing my friend Larry in my head. And God saying, Dana, that stuff is in you. I'm calling it out. I'm calling it out. I'm waking it up. I'm calling it out. So that's what this trumpet call is about, is God waking that up. Because I'm thinking if Kathy's done it, and I've done it, Mary's done it, Martha's done it, y'all have done it. Y'all have shut it off. You don't even know you've done it. So let's not do that anymore. Okay? Let go. Pray. Just kidding. So I started working on this worksheet. So you get your pink worksheet out. And we're just kind of going to go through this. And what I had you guys do, what I have you guys doing today, you did some of it for homework. If you didn't do your homework, it's okay. Don't worry about it. You're going to do it right now. But what I want you to do is to look at each of these fruits of the Spirit. Go ahead and look. I'm going to go ahead and read them to you in the synonyms, because sometimes a different word will hit you where love won't hit you, but something else will. So there's love, which is affection for others, appreciation, adoration, joy, gladness, exuberance about life, bliss, rejoicing, delight, glee. Peace, which is serenity, harmony, unity, tranquility, and rest. Patience, even temper, forbearance, perseverance, endurance, diligence. Kindness, a sense of compassion in the heart, graciousness, hospitality, sympathy, and understanding. Goodness, benevolence, a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. I love that. Generosity, mercy, integrity, and grace. Faithfulness, which is also full of faith, loyalty, adherence, allegiance, and trustworthiness. Gentleness, meekness, humility, tenderness, not needing to force our way in life. Self-control, self-restraint, continence, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. And so what I've asked you to do is to prayerfully evaluate on a scale of 1 to 5. I did not give you a 0 as an option. On a scale of, because the Holy Spirit resides in you, and if the Holy Spirit lives in you, you have the fruits of the Spirit. So on a scale of 1 to 5, with 1 being little baby buds and 5 being big fat fruit, the measure that of each one that you see in your own life. And I just want to caution you, don't be judgmental, don't be critical. This is not a time to beat me up or beat yourself up because you're all ones. Please don't. This is just, we're evaluating, and this is more room for the Holy Spirit to come in and more room for Jesus to grow. And take a moment to thank God for the fruit in your life. He tells us to give thanks in all things. So whether it's a 1 or a 5, thank Him for it. Thank Him that the Holy Spirit chooses to live in you and chooses to produce fruit in your life. And this was interesting. I did some research that I want to kind of interject right here. I have a friend who is beginning a winery. He's growing a winery. So he took us on a tour. And you will love this part. When we went, and this is what kind of connected me here, was we're going through all the little rows and the vines, and right now they're little bitty. And so he's got these tubes around the base of the vine like this. So there's these tubes, and then there's the vine up here. And so we're walking through, and I'm looking. Some of the vines are really big, and some of them are kind of puny and yucky looking. So I'm looking at the puny ones, and I look, and I'm like, there's ants on this. And there was an ant that, you know how they do the dirt? They make all the way up the tube and coming out. And I was like, in this life, we will have ants. It's like, there they go. The ants stealing not only stealing the fruit, but the vegetation and all that stuff. So I did some research on growing grapevines and growing fruit, since that's what we're trying to do. We want to grow our fruit. And did you know that for the first 2 years with a grapevine, it's all about training? It's all about training. So don't beat yourself up if God is just now waking up these fruits. I mean, y'all, if He's just now waking up mercy, I've got little baby buds in a whole lot of these areas. So I'm not going to be upset about my little baby buds. I'm going to be excited because I'm in training. I have my training wheels on. And that mature vines, you know what happens to them? They get pruned. Because if they're left unattended, they become unruly. They get too much vegetation, and their fruit is not sweet. We want sweet fruit, don't we? And this is the other thing that I thought was really, really cool. Grapevines that have not been pruned can appear to be quite tangled unless the gardener has carefully combed them. And you know what that term is called? It's called shoot positioning. And so what the gardener does is he positions the shoots, and he combs them, and he puts them exactly where he wants them so they don't get all tangled up. And you know what happens when he positions the shoots where he wants them? Is that gives you high-quality fruit, better buds for next year's crop, less tangling, improved sunlight exposure, and more circulation of air. So sometimes we're getting trained, sometimes we're getting pruned, and sometimes he's positioning us where he wants us. How fun is that? I thought it was very fun. So where I can tend to think, I'm in trouble. No, you're being trained. You're being positioned. God's at work. The gardener is at work. Okay, so now back to number four on your pink paper. Now what we want to focus on here, after we've given thanks for all the fruit in our lives, whether it's a one or a five, is we want to look at, okay, where are some ones or twos or whatever the lowest number you've got? What is God putting his finger on today? This is thankfully a worksheet that you can do by yourself at home and go over and over and over. So what one does he want you to focus on today? And let's look at that one. And so we want to go to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, I feel like you're putting your finger on love. Let's just take that one for instance. God, would you just please show me where might I have shut off? Where might I have stunted the growth of love in my life? Here's a sample question. Where may I have judged? Whatever. My example I gave you earlier was mercy or weakness. I had judged weakness. And you can see the line. How, okay, if I refuse to extend mercy and I decide they don't deserve it, or their state of weakness means I'm unsafe, then I cannot extend mercy. So if I judge weakness as bad, that's going to stunt the flow of mercy and goodness and all these other things to me. And through me, to those people who really do deserve mercy and who need mercy and who are really in need. Like the guy that was standing on the corner this morning. He may really be in need, but I tend to go, y'all, seriously, I'm going to tell myself that thing that I did with the mercy, it tends to make me go, oh, get a job. That's telling to me. If I'll just roll my eyes and go, get a job. That's really ugly. That's not some sweet fruit. It's hard for me to go there. So that's what God is waking up. So I'm glad about that. And I was able to have way more compassion on the man this morning, and I gave him some money. So is there a place where I've been wounded? This is my example of love. Was I deeply wounded in a love relationship and therefore made a vow? And maybe you don't remember your vow. I remember mine. I remember looking at myself in the mirror going, I am not doing that again. Mm-mm. Not going there. Look in the mirror. Okay, well, so if we're not going there again, where are we not going? We're not going to let somebody love us? We're not going to love somebody else? Okay, how's that working? Not so much. So if we do that to protect ourselves. These walls, these vows, these judgments, we're trying to protect ourselves. And that's not our job, y'all. That's God's job. And God wants to do it. People are not made to do that. People can help God do that, but that's not their job. And so when we expect people to do that and they let us down, we tend to get wounded. So is there a place where you maybe have been wounded and you made a vow or you believed a lie? Love is not safe, maybe. Like me, weakness is not safe. People who are weak are not safe people. So that would, you could see how that would impact many relationships. And just for me being weak is not safe. I mean, goodness, how's that going to play out? Not so well. So just ask some questions like that. This tool and technique that we put out last week, Obstacles to Freedom, it walks you through all the lies, strongholds, vows, judgments, soul ties. And basically, I think soul ties is probably the one that would be the least familiar to you. And let me just tell you what that is so you'll know. And it's on your paper. Soul tie defined is a bond that has a deep impact on my emotional well-being. It says we can have soul ties to people, ideas, groups, places, things, images, memories, behaviors, or events. God has ordained healthy and holy soul ties, such as in marriage, Jonathan and David, how they were knit together. Inappropriate soul ties result from elevating something or someone to a position above God's call for them in my life, a position that neither they are capable nor responsible for fulfilling. And sexual union outside of marriage also forms soul ties. They're inappropriate when I give someone or something the power to define me or to determine my well-being. Example, my worth as a mother is tied to the behavior of my child. And that verse, Matthew 16:19, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So if our well-being is tied to someone else, then if they're not okay, we're not okay. We tend to do that a lot with our children or our husbands or the things we're involved in. If my ministry doesn't look a certain way, then I'm not okay. If my house doesn't look a certain way, then that says something about me and I'm not okay. If my bank account doesn't look a certain way. So that's where soul ties come in. And I think it's really where I've noticed them a lot in my own life is when natural transitions occur, such as leaving and cleaving from my parents to get married, leaving and cleaving as my son goes out, leaves the nest. When we don't do those transitions, soul ties. That's been my experience. And maybe they were there the whole time. But that's kind of when those need to get cut. Those apron strings need to get nipped. And when they don't, that tends to cause a lot of struggle. Let's just put it that way. So I would definitely ask God to show you any kind of soul ties that you may have formed. So the others I think are pretty self-explanatory. So we're just asking him, God, what did I do? What lie am I believing? What vow have I made? Have I judged something that is cutting off or inhibiting the flow of the fruit of the Spirit in my life? And so whatever he puts his finger on, that's what you're going to go with. And then I gave you some more questions, like just to focus on the receiving part under 5. It says, ask God to show you how not receiving this fruit looks in your life. For me, I did not give myself any kind of grace to be sick. And I was sick a lot. I think that was God's mercy, allowing me to be sick until I gave myself some mercy. And that sickness was bad, weakness was bad, physical weakness especially was very, very bad in my life. I love that verse, whatever a person plants, he will harvest. Whatever the person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. And all he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. And that's what we're going for. So we want to receive from God so that we can have a crop of eternal life. So ask him how that's impacted you. Ask him to show you ways that he might be pruning you or training you or positioning you, as we said earlier. And how does that change your perspective on your circumstances? Or ask him to show you what in your life, what relationships or areas of influence could look like if this fruit of the Holy Spirit were able to freely flow through you. And that's kind of the vision casting. And that might, I mean, any one of these, I would focus on any one of these, but that might crank your tractor. Just to see if I had love or mercy flowing freely through me to fill in the blank. What would that look like? What could that look like? That can get me real excited because I see the negative fruit that's been there already. So if I were to flip that and I were able to extend compassion and goodness and kindness and gentleness in these relationships instead of get a job, fill in the blank, whatever, what would that look like? So that's what I want you guys to do as you sit in here. I want you to write it down, whether you write your journal. I didn't leave a ton of room on this paper because I was trying to keep it to a one page, but write it down, whatever God shows you. Even if you don't feel like right now is the time to go through it, write it down, because what we have found is that opposition typically follows outpouring. So whatever work you do, we know, I mean, what is Satan? He seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. We can all quote that verse. So when he tries to do that, you can go, oh, you know what? Yeah, you're right. I used to not have mercy. I remember where I shut that mercy thing off. But then I repented. I repented of the judgment that I made toward my parent. Yeah, and so God forgave me. So you can't hold that over me anymore, Satan. And so I've got the Holy Spirit in me, and he is mercy. So mercy can flow through me. So that's why I want you to write it down. And y'all, really, the simplest, whenever he shows you what it is he wants you to work on, just repent. Don't get all caught up in it. Just repent. I mean, seriously. You didn't know any better. Now you do. So. Any questions about the worksheet? Okay, let me pray, and then we'll stop the recording, and then I'll give you logistics about where to go, okay? Dear Jesus, I just thank you so much, Lord, for this time. I thank you, God, that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. I thank you that your fruits are in every fiber of our being. So, God, we do. I just thank you. And I'm just getting a grin on my face just thinking about how the fruits of the Spirit can look in each one of our lives as we just give you rule and reign. So, God, we just come to you and just ask you to put your gardening hat on and to walk through the rows and to just show us oh, look at that tiny little baby bud. I see, look at that little green shoot. Okay. And you're going to want to go in there and you're going to want to move the sticks out of the way and you're going to put some fertilizer in there. And we just say, yes, Lord, just whatever you need to do, God, to get in there and help us to be the most fruitful that we can be. We say, yes, Lord, just go in there and do it. And God, I thank you for the fields that we may not even know that we own. And as you show us, hey, you know what? You've got this field over here on the back of the property that is looking a little underkept. God, we would just be so excited to put our boots on and get our farm equipment and to go in there and just dig around with you. God, I thank you that you're a good farmer, that you are a master gardener. God, that you know what you're doing. So we thank you for all the places that you're training us, the places where you're positioning us, the places where you're pruning us. And God, we thank you that the reason that you do that is because you love us and because you want us to be fruitful. You want us to glorify you. You want us to be your hands and feet. And we thank you that we get to do that. So God, we commit this time to you. We ask, God, that you would be in it, that you would speak to us and through us, that you would lead, God, and direct us, that we would have ears to hear. I thank you that we are your sheep, and you tell us that your sheep hear your voice. So I ask you to speak through your word. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.